My name's Alex Webb, and we're here on the behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It is the 9th of August, 2009. Could you please state your name, your age, and where you're from?
Nicholas Pierce, 19, born 30th of November, 1989. I've got a bit of a complicated background. I'm half English, half New Zealander, and I've travelled quite a lot in there, and I'm kind of stuck in the middle, and I don't really know where I'm from in the end. And yeah.
So where did you first hear about the project, and what inspired you to take part?
I heard about it on BBC London, actually, watching the news one night. You know, it was just after, I think it was the report on some sort of financial crash, at which point I was like, yeah, this is the news. And then this thing came on about the Fourth Plinth Project, and I was like, oh yeah, I know about this. There was that woman without arms on there, pregnant, and she was a great sculpture, but she didn't create it. And they're putting people on there. Oh, what's the website?
Yeah.
That's basically it. And I was like, you know, this would be fun. I go to uni just down the road, and it'd be great to do.
And so how did you feel when you found out? It's quite a surprise.
I was ecstatic. I hadn't checked my emails for about a week, and I had 3 hours left to accept. And so this was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I checked my emails, and you know, my parents were asleep. I sort of walked in and said, you know, I'm going to be on the plinth. At which point, what? And I was like, yeah, I got on the plinth. And then I just sort of couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. I sort of crashed about 7 o'clock, and I was just like, great, I'm happy.
And so what do you plan to do on the plinth?
Well, I've just finished walking the Ridgeway, which is a path which goes from Wiltshire up to Buckinghamshire, from Overton Hill near Avebury, you know, the stone circles there, to Ivanhoe Beacon, and it's been a bit of a mission in the last few days. It's been raining and humid and sunny and everything that England is famed for. And, you know, I've been camping with my dad, and so I'm going to put up a tent, and at the same time I'm going to be playing from a speaker, probably not loud enough to be heard anywhere apart from where I am, playing a speaker with my iPod with a playlist of songs that I like. Mostly New Zealand artists, because I think they don't get nearly enough reputation anywhere apart from in New Zealand. Basically, if I might sing along, I might, you know, dance a little bit, just going in to have fun, really.
Yeah. And could you tell us about your hopes, fears, and maybe expectations about going up there?
As a London student, I know the timings of the, you know, the haircut. I know that the bars shut down, and, you know, okay, say Tiger on and on and all that sort of shut down at 3 o'clock. I'm going to get most of the rowdy drunks coming through Trafalgar Square. So basically, I'm just there to ensure that they have a nice, smooth transition period to the buses at Charing Cross. I don't mind if it gets heckled, if I get heckled out. It's just like, yeah, I'll just carry on doing my own little thing, and it's not for them, it's for me and for the people who actually want to enjoy it, to see.
So you definitely say you're doing this for yourself, yeah?
I'm doing this for myself, I have family in New Zealand who are going to be watching it, and I'm doing it, you know, because our private little joke in our family is this is the only time that someone in our family is going to get to be commemorated in any way, shape or form. So.
And also, could you tell us a bit about your background? And, you know, you're saying you're from New Zealand, and just maybe a bit about your childhood?
My childhood, I travelled a lot because my dad's job took us all over the world. And then I went to school in New Zealand from year six at 10. And then I was at school there, and that gave me a very... the basis of it is the New Zealand background, and it's the laid-back nature, it's the... You know, you get things done eventually, and it's, you know, it's just Kiwi know how, Kiwi feel good, and it's part of who I am. But at the same time, I do have this British side, and I mean, I love London to bits. It's always been part of my home. It's been a home at all times, and you know, it's who I am. But also, New Zealand is who I am, and trying to combine the two in this, and hopefully, it doesn't rain.
So what was that like travelling around? I mean, could you tell us a bit about that?
It exposed me to quite a lot of cultures and thought processes and ideas. And in that sense, it's probably why I'm doing the degree I'm doing at King's College down the road, War Studies and History. It's just to sort of expand that and help deal with conflicts and resolution and all that sort of thing, and learning from mistakes and that, because we did travel to quite a few interesting zones. I mean, we were in West Africa, Scotland, Syria, China, Russia, and in between New Zealand and England, and it's been an amazing journey, and it's created who I am and how I feel about things, and you know, it's part of who I am.
And so, where do you see yourself in, say, 10 years?
Hopefully not living in a cardboard box. No, I would love to be working for an NGO or the UN or even the Foreign Office or something like that. I love it, but I don't know. It's just paths go different directions. I mean, I could be working for something like that. I could be doing social work. I could be doing teaching, as much as I fear that.
Yeah.
Children. But at the same time, I'll see where I go, and hopefully I get my dreams and aspirations, but I'm willing to do whatever I can to help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about doing what I love, it's doing what I love and extending the passion I feel about the things I do to other people,
mm-hmm.
and ensuring that something gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for the world, but it could be for a school, it could be for a village, it could be
mm-hmm.
for a small community or something. It would just, that's the kind of thing that I want to do.
And so where do you think that desire stems from?
It does stem from traveling.
Mm-hmm.
It does stem from living in countries with severe poverty. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, one thing I always remember about when we were in Beijing was we lived in the Hutong, just about 3 kilometers from the Forbidden City.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in the traditional Chinese house. We were the only Westerners in the entire district. You know, people would come. The tour guide started from our front door.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the Westerners lived. But one day, about 500 meters down the road, they demolished sort of half a block of Hutong, which had been there for 400 years. And, you know, the Chinese, they got on with it. You know, they look for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very admirable trait, but at the same time, it's looking at them sacrificing their past
mm-hmm.
for the future. And I want to be the kind of person who can help people not have to make that decision, help people to not sacrifice their history
mm-hmm.
for progress.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Could you tell us some other experiences, maybe? Because it sounds, you know, you must have, as a child, went through it.
A bit. There were things, I mean, I spent 3 years in Aberdeen, and that was brilliant. We had one warm summer, as I remember. But Aberdeen, you had wide open spaces. The people are amazingly lovely. Nicest people in Scotland. Please don't hurt me by that. And at the same time, it's all these places you travel, you pick up new experiences, and thing is, you can't remember everything, but things do stand out. I mean, you have that thing in the Hutong in Beijing. You have in Damascus, we went to the Golan Heights when we lived in Syria, and you had the sort of 2 mile zone between Israel and Syria, which was filled with mines. And we were told by the UN rangers that, you know, people walk across here every day, and every now and then someone gets a leg blown off. And it's just those sorts of experiences leave you with that sort of memory that, you know, things aren't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, part, I think that is again the New Zealander coming in me, the sense of fairness, the sense of this is how things should be, this is the way to do it, and maybe to get it done.
Mm-hmm. And do you think this experience of being on the plinth, do you think it will kind of change something in any way, or, you know, kind of resonate with you?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I could have gone up and done a political message. My cousin's boyfriend went up on day one, and he was the guy who stood there holding the "Don't vote BNP, make tea" sign, and you know, he's a Spaniard by descent, but he's a Brit. He's from Sheffield, really, when it comes down to it. But at the same time, I don't want to be standing there pushing what I think. I'd much prefer to be the person who just makes things flow. And if you can just get that sort of feeling going, then, you know, hopefully it works out.
And have you ever been in kind of this kind of fine art context before?
Not fine arts. I do theatre.
Okay.
So
could you talk us through, you know, just that kind of?
Well, I directed a play in high school. I directed a couple of plays in high school, and for the last year, I've been in two. I've been in a musical and a show for my uni societies for musicals and so on. And being in a process like that, it's a bonding process. I mean, when I was directing, I had to yell at people, I had to organize people, and dealing with students and with high school students, and you know, you had to just shove the thing down their throats. And coming to uni, it's basically the same thing, but we're all bigger, uglier, and can drink, which sometimes makes it easier, sometimes makes it harder. And at the same time, it's this, you eventually, with a theater group, you bond in such a way that you'll always have those connections, whether you didn't get on with them or you did, and you had the great connection between you, two of you or three of you or five of you or whatever, you'll have that connection. And it's one thing I see theater doing is connecting with people and trying to convey messages and so on. And yeah.
I was quite interested in that. So what was the reason for you not doing this perhaps in the plant? You just want to try something different rather than...
I try and do something. I'm on holiday at the moment, and I want to reflect part of my holiday, which is the ridge and camping and the New Zealand side. I would love to be in New Zealand at the moment, apart from the fact it's winter. I'm kind of homesick at the same time. I've been in the UK for a year. I've been out of New Zealand for a year, almost 2 years now, and I'm beginning to sort of get that homesickness vibe, and I want to sort of have a bit of, I mean, I listen to a lot of New Zealand music, and I want to have a part of who I am and how I feel about things just on the plinth. And I, rather than that, then sort of trying to suppress the emotional context in the political context.
And do you think this is quite a, what do you think in the sense of this project representing kind of Britain?
I think it's very admirable.
Mm-hmm.
As they constantly point out, there is no other project like it. But at the same time, trying to represent Britain is an extremely hard thing to do. I don't think we could ever fully capture Britain.
Mm.
They could have done... each region done something or so on, but then at the same time doing it in the heart of the country, London, it kind of gives it a special significance. And at the same time, I think it's brilliant, but I'm just utterly glad to be part of it. And you know, I mean, I can hear the drums of, I've forgotten her name, person who goes on the 2 to 3 a.m. slot. You can fill that in later. Her drums going, and the fact that she's German, she's probably been here quite a while, and she's got her band going, and it's great. And it's just that sort of thing. You have the people who will go out there and just sit and read a book during the sunshine, and that's the kind of thing I love. You can have people go out there and sit and read a book, you can have people make a political message, you can have people singing, dancing, making fun. The diversity, which is Britain, at the same time.
Well, thanks a lot for the interview.
It's fine.